Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amazing You. I am your host, Dr. Rani Thanakudi. I am a certified hypnotherapist using rapid transformational therapy. I am also a life and relationship coach, breathwork coach, astrologer, and compassion life force energy practitioner. And today I have the great pleasure to introduce you all to Dolly Hamel. She's a hydration specialist and a speaker. Welcome to Amazing You, Dolly.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking your time today to talk to the audience.
It is my pleasure.
So, Dolly, can you tell us briefly about your story?
I will start my story by asking a question.
Okay.
Have you ever lost an arm, a leg, or a loved one, and you've been left with your heart and your insides and your stomach with an empty, hollow, achy feeling? Well, this is the story that I'm going to share with you. It was 1994, and I and my four-year-old daughter moved to Omaha, Nebraska. We had lived there before for a year to live with her biological father. We're just going to call him Joe.
Okay.
And Joe had promised me that he was going to go to Omaha first and have an apartment ready for us and have everything ready for when we came. We were going to try and be a little family. Well, when I arrived to Omaha, he was living with a guy in his apartment, renting a room. The room was empty. We slept on the floor for many days, and I would clean for him and cook for him, and he was very abusive.
Right.
I didn't know that what he was doing was called domestic violence. Not until maybe 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I grew up that way with a lot of violence in my home.
Right.
So to me, that was normal.
Mm-hmm.
The person that he was living with told him that he was going to report him to the authorities.
Okay.
Because he was being abusive to us. And Joe took all of his belongings, which were not many, and we moved into an apartment. Mm-hmm. Him and my daughter and I.
Right.
And life got bad really fast.
Okay.
Joe would abuse me all the time. I thought that was love. Like I said earlier, domestic violence is how I grew up. And I thought that was love. But my mental health was declining quickly, very quickly.
Sorry, Julie, when you meant he was abusing of you, in what ways? Is it emotional or physical?
He was emotional, physical, and sexually abusive towards me. For example, he would take a sword. He was a jiu-jitsu master, so he would take his sword and he would put me on the floor and put a sword on my neck. And I was terrified.
Yeah.
So that was the abuse.
Yeah.
And I remembered when I had lived in Omaha for a year, a couple of years back in 1991, I had a friend that I met in AA, in Al-Anon, I'm sorry. So I called her and we talked, and she said to me, let's go to an AA meeting. I didn't know what that was.
Can you explain to the audience what is an AA meeting?
Well, AA is Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes.
So I walked into the meeting with her and I sat in the group with ladies and they were all sharing their stories.
Right.
And as they shared their stories, I cried.
Mm.
For the simple reason that everything they were sharing was something about my life.
Okay.
And when the meeting was over, I realized I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never belonged anywhere. Didn't belong with my family, didn't belong with anyone, but I belonged in this group of women.
Yeah.
So I continued to go. And as I went, I started to develop my own thinking and using my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe was getting furious.
Okay.
And he would say, they're brainwashing you. because he couldn't control me anymore, 100%.
Yeah.
Then I started, I gave my life over to God. My sponsor in AA became my spiritual mom, and
Okay.
she invited me to church. We went to church. So now I'm going to church. I'm going to AA. I'm using my mind. I'm helping on Sundays take care of the kids in the nursery. And my life is getting pretty good. Then I get a job. I never thought I could be self-sufficient. I was always told I would never amount to anything good.
Wow.
And I got this amazing job that it was a gift from God. It came with benefits. So I was able to go to therapy for the first time.
Okay.
In my world, my country, people don't go to therapy unless they're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had learned in AA that we were as sick as our secrets. So I started going to therapy. In one of those therapy sessions, I said something that alarmed my therapist. I went off to work that day, and an hour later she called and
right.
she said, "You have 24 hours and you need to leave Joe. If you don't, we're going to take your daughter away from you." So I just lost it. I had a panic attack, and I called my sponsor and we made a plan. That day, that night, when I got home, she was there with her husband and another couple, and they did an intervention, and
Okay.
they got my daughter and I away from Joe.
Okay.
So I lived with her and her husband for 2 weeks, but that's all I had. After 2 weeks, I was going to have to either go into a shelter with my daughter
Yes.
or figure it out.
Mm.
By the time the 2 weeks were over, Joe called and said that we could take an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment he had found. That apartment was two blocks. I mean, it was in his same complex, but it was two buildings away from him.
Right.
I didn't think anything of it. I just thanked him and took it.
Oh, you did too. You did take it.
I did, because it was just for the two of us, my daughter and I.
Okay.
Years passed, and you know, I'm doing really great in AA with my AA family, with my church family.
Yes.
And now I have my job and I'm independent, but I'm still staying in touch with Joe because I didn't know. I had this love-hate relationship. I didn't really know what my therapist meant, that he was gonna, why I had to move away from him.
Yes.
And I wanted my daughter to grow up with her dad. I didn't grow up with my mom and my dad, and I suffered so much.
Yes.
And I wanted her to have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my life is really good. And then my mother, who gave me away when I was 5 years old, she couldn't keep me because she was so poor. She didn't have the finances. She was in the Dominican Republic. So she sent me away. She gave me to my dad. And they brought me to the United States.
Right.
It was awful. The beatings and the domestic violence was awful. And I always dreamed that this fairy tale mother, the one that gave me away, would come and rescue me, that she would be a loving, kind mother and would love me because she would love me. Nobody loved me, but she would love me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I picked her up at the airport, brought her home. 6 months have passed her being with me, and she turns out to be very verbally abusive. My fairy tale dream crashed. She wanted me to send money back to her other children, my half siblings. She saw that I had so much, and back home we don't have anything, and she was in culture shock. And one night she was really awful to me. She said a lot of awful things that I will not repeat, but they broke my heart. My world crumbled again. This lady that I thought would love me and cherish me didn't love me. And that night I said to her, "Mom, I have been sober for 2 years. You're not going to make me drink." That night, I bought her a plane ticket one way back home. I drove her the next day to the airport. And on the way back home, I realized I had no one in the world. I was all alone. Nobody loved me or my daughter. And I cried. And I did what I was used to doing best. I went to Joe for comfort.
Right. So you keep going back to what is familiar to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't drink. I was still sober, but I got pregnant. A couple of weeks passed, and I told Joe I was pregnant, and he lost it. He wanted me to have an abortion. I wouldn't. And I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to tell people at church? What am I going to tell them? I was terrified. I remember one night I was praying. I would pray every night after I became a Christian, and I would pray from 8 to 9. And I remember praying one night, and I heard a voice. I called it the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that little voice said to me, I want you to give this child up for adoption.
Okay.
I didn't know what adoption was. In my Latin American world, we don't do, back then, we didn't do adoptions. But God took me to the chapter of Exodus where it talks about Moses.
Yeah.
And in the times of when Moses was born, they were killing all the little boys.
Yeah.
So his parents, wanting to give him a life and a hope and a future, put him in a basket and put him in a river.
That's true.
So Pharaoh's daughter was there with her slaves,
mm-hmm.
bathing, and she found this little baby in a basket. So she took him. She took him home,
yeah.
and she raised him as his own.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew instantly what I needed to do. The next day, I called an adoption agency in Omaha, Nebraska. And I was assigned a social worker. Her name is Karen.
Right.
Karen came over with a profile. Back then, there were books. And I looked through all the books and I prayed about it. But in my heart, nobody was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me more time to think about it. And time was passing by. And I remember my tummy was showing and church kicked me out. I could no longer serve at church because I was an embarrassment. I was an unwed mother of one, and now I was pregnant with another. I remember my world crumbled when they kicked me out and I left the church, but I did go back later. God prompted me to go back. And my work, people were not very understanding. They would talk around behind my back, and some were very mean. One person was even so bold to come up to me and say, if you're going to give this child up for adoption, why don't you just have an abortion?
Wow.
And people were just cruel.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this world that we live in is so cruel. The world has tried to break me since I was a little girl. But I wanted this baby. And I was looking for ways to keep him myself, but I was also open to do God's will in my life.
Yes.
So a lady from work said to me, I want to have a baby. My husband and I have tried for years, but I've lost my babies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we can get to know each other and maybe you let me adopt your son? I would love to do that. Well, she and I became quick friends. I met her family and we did lots of things together because we were going to be a family, right? I was
yes.
going to have an open adoption.
Mm.
Open because I learned in AA that I was as sick as my secrets and I didn't want any more secrets.
Mm.
So this was going to be an open adoption. A month before I was to give birth, she got pregnant and she gave me the bad news.
Wow.
That he could not keep my baby and have her baby as well.
Okay.
So my world came crumbling down again. I had to start looking. And I looked through the books, the portfolios, and there was no one, again, no one that gave me peace in my heart. This one lady that became like a mother to me at church said, she had a lawyer that was Mexican and she said, well, your baby will fit in just right with them. Can I have a picture of your daughter so I can show them and ask them? She did. She went and spoke to them and they agreed to meet us. They didn't agree to anything, but just to meet us. So my daughter and I showed up at their house and we had dinner They had two little girls, so the all three girls went upstairs to play, and we were downstairs talking. And at one moment, we got up and we held hands and we prayed. It was a beautiful night and a beautiful dinner, and I felt so much peace about these people. I got in my car, went home, and that night I just slept well because I felt like these are going to be his parents.
Yeah.
Well, that week they called and they said, we're going to adopt your son.
Okay.
So when I told Karen, my social worker, she said they couldn't because she needed to do a background check and that takes months. So I said, listen, Karen, if that's not going to work, then I'm not going to need your services anymore. We're done.
Yeah.
She performed a miracle and did the work she needed to do. And when it was time for me to have my son, I called my spiritual mom. And she drove me to the hospital. And she was in the delivery room with me.
Right.
And when I had my son, she cut his umbilical cord. As I had my son, a floodgate of emotions opened up. And I realized that the time had arrived where I had signed and agreed to give my son over to this family. And for those 3 days, I cried. I cried so much that when I look back at those pictures, I don't even recognize myself. I was so swollen.
Right.
I loved that little boy, and I had carried him for 9 months.
Yeah.
And I had planned to keep him, but I knew what my Father God had asked me to do. So on the third day of me being in the hospital, we had a small celebration ceremony, and I placed Daniel in the hands of the new parents, and some of my AA sisters were there with me, and my spiritual mom was there, and we gave little Daniel, they named him Daniel Justin, we gave him, and I remember just being numb, going home and feeling hollow and empty and achy. And my daughter was crying and mad at me because I gave away her baby. That was her baby.
Yeah.
And she would say, Mom, you gave away my baby. I would raise them. I would help you raise them. This is a six-year-old.
Okay.
And she grew to be very angry and resentful towards me because I gave away her baby. Sunday came and I showed up at church. And it happened to be that this family went to the church I was kicked out of.
Okay.
And they knew my daughter before they were her Sunday school teachers.
Right.
So there was a connection in that church, and that's why I had to go back to the church.
Yeah.
Every Sunday they waited for me and my daughter for us. And Sundays came and Sundays went.
So you could spend time with your son as well.
I was able to spend time with him.
Why?
It's been 25 years, and we spent birthdays, graduations, weddings. We have traveled together.
Okay.
He's been in my home for weeks. He knows that I'm his mom. He knows that I love him. He knows why I did what I did.
Yes.
He grew up knowing that he has two mothers that
yes.
love and adore him.
Yeah.
And a father that adores him. And he has a huge extended family.
Wow.
So
How
he
lucky
knew
he
that.
Is.
I'm sorry?
How lucky he is to have two moms who love him, you know?
So he never had to wonder why he was abandoned or not loved. He never had to go through any of that.
Yes.
And, you know, this is my story of how God took my mess and he made it into his message, and how he's given me beauty for ashes.
Yeah.
and how, you know, I chose to break my own heart, to break my own heart, because I loved him and I love him still so much that I was willing to live with a broken heart, because I knew in the long run, God, my God is faithful. I never imagined that I would see my son as much and that he would be a part of our lives as much. But we have been blessed with having him in our lives. And he is me as a boy.
Okay.
He looks just like me.
Right.
And he's never lived with us for long term, but he's exactly like myself and my daughter and my dad. He's exactly like my family. And I am just so overwhelmed with joy that I get to see him. And he calls me mom. And when he calls me mom, my heart melts.
Yeah.
And for his birthdays, he will say, Mom, thank you for giving me the gift of life.
Yeah.
So that is my story.
What a beautiful story of bravery, of taking that step of giving your son for adoption. It's very hard because of the attachment that you had with him for 9 months, but you listened to God's words, and you want a family. You got a family as well. Not only him, but the family who adopted him. So you've got a great family now to support you and to share that journey together. Yeah, that's beautiful, Dolly. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
So what would you say today to the audience to encourage people who are listening and who are watching and who are facing some very tough times at this present moment? What would you like to tell them?
I would say be bold and be courageous. Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself. You are stronger than you think.
Yes, that's very correct. Thank you, Dolly. So tell us briefly now about what you do and how can people reach out to you, Dolly?
I am a hydration specialist. I teach people how to stay hydrated in order to keep their bodies healthy.
Right.
And I embarked on that journey in 2012 when my body was shutting down and I had to have back-to-back surgery. I was literally dying.
Okay.
And God gave me a second chance. And this water found me and it's helped me so much that today, you know, after 6 years of utilizing the water, I have chosen to share it with the world because I changed my water and it literally changed my life.
Right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And how can the audience contact you, Dolly? Do you have a website that you can tell us? You can share with us now.
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. It is at www.hydration-health.com. And when you go to my website, it will give me my phone number. You can always contact me, leave me messages, and I'll get back to you.
Thank you, Dolly, for sharing your story, for taking the time to talk to the audience. I'm very grateful and honored to have you on Amazing You. Thank you so much. And thank you to the audience for listening, watching, subscribing, and sharing. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.